Chapter 19. I arrived 20 minutes late. The place was doing good lunchtime business. Conversation was at a roar, and stepping in from the street was like walking into a storm. It was as if there were a single topic. And an hour later there would be. The professor was already seated, but Clarissa was on her feet, and even from across the room I could see that she was in the same elated mood. She was creating a little fuss around her. A waiter was on his knees at her feet, praying style, wedging a table leg. Another was bringing her a different chair. When she saw me, she came skipping through the din and took my hand and led me to the table as if I were blind. I put the skittishness down to a celebratory mood, for we had some cause to raise a glass. It wasn't only a birthday. Professor Jocelyn Cale, Clarissa's godfather, had been appointed to an honorary position on the Human Genome Project. Before I sat down, I kissed her. These days our tongues never touch, but this time they did. Jocelyn half rose from his seat and shook my hand. At the same moment, champagne in an ice bucket was brought to the table and we pitched our voices in with the roar. The ice bucket sat within a rhombus of sunlight on a white tablecloth. The tall restaurant windows showed off rectangles of blue sky between the buildings. I had a hard-on from the kiss. In memory, it was all success, clarity, clatter. In memory, all the food they brought us first was red. The bresaola, the fat tongues of roasted pepper laid on goat cheese. The radicchio, the white china bowl of radish coronets. When later I remembered how we had leaned in and shouted, I seemed to be remembering an underwater event. Jocelyn took from his pocket a small parcel done up in blue tissue. We drew down an imaginary silence on our table while Clarissa unwrapped her present. Perhaps that was when I glanced to my left at the table next to ours. A man whose name I learned afterward was Colin Tapp was with his daughter and his father. Perhaps I noticed them later. If I registered at the time the solitary diner who sat 20 feet away with his back to us, it left no trace in memory. Inside the tissue was a black box, and inside the box, on a cumulus of cotton wool, was a golden brooch. Still without speaking, she lifted it out, and we examined it on her palm. 2 gold bands were entwined in a double helix. Crossing between them were tiny silver rungs in groups of 3 representing the base pairs, the 4-letter alphabet that coded all living things in permutating triplets. Engraved on the helical bands were spherical designs to suggest the 20 amino acids onto which the 3-letter codons were mapped. In the full light gathered from the tabletop, it looked in Clarissa's hand more than a representation. It could have been the thing itself, ready to cook up chains of amino acids to be blended into protein molecules. It could have divided right there in her hand to make another gift. When Clarissa sighed Jocelyn's name, the sound of the restaurant surged back on us. "Oh, God, it's beautiful!" she cried, and kissed him. His weak yellow-blue eyes were moist. He said, "It was Gillian's, you know. She would have loved you to have it." I was impatient to produce my own present, but we were still in the spell of Jocelyn's. Clarissa pinned the brooch on her grey silk blouse. Would I remember the conversation now if I did not know what it preceded?